out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system at radioarian.com.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday the 19th of November 2018 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at radioarian.com. Before we get into today's programme, I'd just like to talk a little bit about some of the things that have been going on recently since this synagogue shooting in Pittsburgh, which we completely condemn. I've spoken about that before, but since then that's been used as an excuse, predictably, for a clampdown on free speech on the internet, particularly with Gab. Now, Gab is not a right-wing site, it's a free speech site, so obviously people that have been banned from other websites for free speech have tended to gravitate towards Gab. But there are still plenty of leftists on there. I mean, it's not a right-wing site. It's not a nationalist site. It's a free speech site. It would be great to have more leftists on there so that we could have more debate. I mean, that's what free speech is all about. It's about the marketplace of ideas and challenging people's ideas and getting as close as you can to the truth. And that, I believe, is what Andrew Tauber is trying to do with his website. Now, Gab was taken down. It was down for a week or so. And the reason for that is because his domain name provider took his domain away from him. He hadn't actually broken any laws, but they still took his domain name away from him. And this has happened to quite a few right-wing websites, nationalist websites, since Charlottesville last year, when it first really began in earnest. Now, the problem with this is, there's no actual breaking of the law has been alleged as to why these sites should have been taken down. It's just leftists saying, oh, there's hate speech on there, or, oh, they're inciting violence. They don't actually provide any evidence of any incitement to violence. It seems the only violence that is incited at all is in the leftists themselves. They get very violent upon hearing things that they don't want to hear. It's not that nationalists are calling for any violence against anyone. We certainly aren't. What we advocate here is self-improvement, as all our listeners are well aware of. You cannot change the way other people think. You cannot affect the way that the government is. All you can really do is take charge over your own individual lives and try to improve yourself. So Gab was offline for a week, because they had their domain name taken away from them. Now, Gab are back. Instead of being gab.ai, they are gab.com. And the reason why they are back is because there is somebody who is standing up for us, that is standing up for free speech. We don't just have Gab. We have somebody that rents out these domain names that is now standing up for us. And this, as far as I'm aware, he's the only person that's been brave enough and courageous enough to put up with all the harassment from the left for hosting a free speech site. And that's Rob Monster. And he's at epic.com. And what they actually do there, they will sell you a domain name for life, so you don't actually have to renew it every year. And Rob is committed to free speech. And because of this, he's right at the sharp end of all the harassment from the left. He's getting attacked all over the place on Twitter. And he's doing a really good job of standing up to it. And this is why I'm bringing this up, is he could really do some support. I mean, he hasn't got a network. He hasn't got a network of nationalists to support him. and probably a lot of our listeners are completely unaware of him. But if you are on Twitter or if you are on Gab, I'm not sure if he has Facebook as well, but if you are, then just send him some support. Follow him, like his tweets, retweet his tweets. Step in there and into the debate if you can. Because he's getting some really nasty, misanthropic leftists that are attacking him on there. And all he's done is taken a stand for free speech. So, and another part of this as well, obviously Gab, right from the very start, have said that they will remove people's messages if they are calling for violence against anyone. And that is against the law, to incite violence against any individual or against any group. So if you're doing that on Gab, then you should expect to be removed. You should expect to have your message removed. And it's no good saying, well, they don't support free speech because they removed me. Because if you are inciting violence, you will be removed. And on top of that, if you're doing that, then you're just giving the leftists an excuse to call for Gab to be shut down. You're just giving the left an excuse by calling for violence. I know that Grandpa Lampshade spoke about this last week on his show, and now I'm speaking about it on here on the Daily Nationalist. So let's show some support for Gab, and let's show some support for Epic. Epic will facilitate transfers if you want to transfer your domain over to Epic from wherever you are, because you think it will be safer there. It's only $6.99 to do that. And as I say, they do also offer lifetime subscriptions to your domain name. So you know that it'll be safe for good. So yeah, do check out epic.com and do support Andrew Tauber and Rob Monster. Right, well, the new story that I've got for us today, I mean, this is just really quite incredible that this could actually go on. And what's even more incredible is the tone of the newspaper article, which is describing it. And this is actually from the Daily Mail, that pretends to be a patriotic right-wing newspaper. Yet, as we know, it highlights sometimes black-on-white crimes, highlights sometimes the stupidity of the hate speech laws. But then anybody that speaks up about it, any nationalists that speak up about it, it then attacks them. And this particular article, I find very disappointing, because it's obviously trying to gain sympathy for a Negro female that is bed blocking, preventing white people from getting into hospital and having operations and having surgery simply because she doesn't want to leave there. She's quite happy having everything done for her. Ruth Kidane has become one of the most familiar faces at Barnet Hospital in North London. The 21-year-old, who has a rare degenerative muscle weakening disorder, is very happy here, and she loves the staff. They're brilliant, she says in a barely audible voice when we met this week. Ruth is confined to a wheelchair and sometimes has difficulty breathing, eating, swallowing, and even speaking, all of which she faces with a quiet resilience. It is impossible not to warm to Ruth or fail to be moved by the devotion of her mother, Mimi Tebejay, 50, who is a constant presence at her side. But behind the undeniable hardship of Ruth's daily existence is another story, one which has inflamed public opinion, angered patient groups, and placed Ruth, her mother, and Barnet Hospital at the centre of controversy. The reason is this. For the past 15 months, Ruth and Mimi, who are originally from Ethiopia, have been living at the hospital. Living might seem like an odd word to use here, but actually it's an accurate one. Ruth, you see, is not actually a patient. Not really. A patient is somebody who needs nursing care or medical treatment. So these Negroes, they don't actually need to be in the hospital. They've got nothing that requires treatment in the hospital. They're just refusing to go home, and the hospital has allowed them to stay there. Unbelievable. As we hear in this story further on, I mean, the country has bent over backwards to please this black mother and daughter, providing them with a fantastic flat to live in, and they're still refusing to leave. Why haven't the police evicted them? Why haven't the hospital evicted them? Are they frightened that they'll be called racist if they do so? Ruth is disabled, but she is not ill. Twice a week, for example, she attends college where she is studying basic English and maths, and she enjoys days out with her mother, who sleeps next to her on a fold-up bed in an ensuite room on a general ward which should be used to treat the genuinely sick. So she's even got her own room there. Everybody else in the hospital has to be on a ward along with lots of other people. But these two Negroes, they've got their own ensuite room. She's got her own separate room. She's attending college, which is obviously being paid for by the British public, where she's studying English and maths, appropriating English and maths from white people. She gets to go out with her mother, and instead of coming back to the hospital to find that all her stuff has been packed and there is an ill person in that bed, she's quite safe to just use the place like a hotel. How did this farcical situation come about? The simple answer is that Ruth was initially admitted to Barnet Hospital with respiratory problems after arriving in London in July last year, and within weeks was declared fit to be discharged. In normal circumstances, she would have been, of course. But Ruth and Mimi, who'd been living in Grimsby before coming to London, claimed they were homeless and had nowhere to go. Obviously, they came to London because there was a reason for them wanting to be in London, and they're just using this hospital as a hotel. They could see that there was a loophole there that could be exploited, and that's what they've done. Hospitals can obtain possession orders to evict patients from a bed, but the Royal Free London NHS Foundation Trust, which runs Barnet, has chosen not to issue legal proceedings. Why not? So more than a year on, Ruth and Mimi are still guests at Barnet Hospital at the taxpayers' expense, and will be, it seems, for the foreseeable future. Why should we even be housing these people anyway, let alone looking after them in hospitals, let alone allowing them to take advantage of our medical system like this, our National Health Service? There are people that are desperate for operations, desperate to get into hospital. There are waiting lists of up to 6 months for operations. And what we've got here is two freeloading Negroes that have got nothing wrong with them, nothing that requires medical attention by nurses or doctors, and yet they're just using the hospital as a hotel. Their application for social housing in the borough has been turned down, but they are refusing to return to Lincolnshire, where the council has offered them a new home. They've already got a decent house, a really decent house in Grimsby, and what they've done is they've come to London, booked themselves into a hospital, and then stayed there, refused to go back to the house that they've got in Lincolnshire, demanded that they have a house in London instead. And when they couldn't get a house in London, the council in Lincolnshire said, well, we'll give you a new house if you like in Grimsby. And they've refused that as well. They think that they should just be allowed to come to somebody else's country and demand to be able to live where they want to in that country and demand that that country pay for everything. And they have an unbelievable front, an unbelievable arrogance. No white man would ever think of behaving like this. No white man would ever go to another country and start demanding that they be housed in the part of the country that they want to be. If they were claiming refugee status, you go where you're put, and you're thankful to get whatever you're given. Understandably, the case has caused public disquiet at a time when the beleaguered NHS is being stretched to the limit. The average daily cost of a hospital bed, according to the Department of Health, is about £400. £400 a day. So that's £12,000 a month. It means the cost to date of accommodating Ruth is about £180,000. A house could be bought for that sort of money. A house could have been bought for that sort of money and given to a young couple, a young white couple. But instead, it's just being squandered on these lazy Negroes who obviously they're refusing to work, and they're refusing to go back home again either. More seriously, the debacle must have resulted in patients being denied a hospital bed. Back in Grimsby, where the family, it calls them a family, even though it's just mother and daughter, back in Grimsby, where the family were housed after being granted asylum from Ethiopia 16 years ago, some of those who know Mimi believe she is simply playing the system to stay in London. Well, who could have guessed that? Who would make an accusation like that? Her elder daughter, who left Grimsby for the capital some years ago, is based in London and has just had a baby. And that's the reason why they've done this. They just thought, well, we'll just travel down to London, pretend that you're ill, because you're disabled anyway, this is to the daughter, and then we'll get free housing in the hospital. No, 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 Mimi insists when the accusation of playing the system is put to her. TV stations and newspapers have all been trying unsuccessfully to interview Mimi since the scandal came to light earlier this week, but she chose to speak to the Mail about the events, which have thrust both her and Ruth into the spotlight. I understand why people are upset, she acknowledges. It's a ridiculous situation, I know. Many sick people are waiting for beds, but I just feel I don't have any choice. We don't have anywhere to go, and Ruth would be on the street if we were forced to leave. I mean, this is absolute nonsense. She admits that her former home in Grimsby, this is her former home, is still her home. There's nobody else living in it in Grimsby. Is a specially adapted bungalow on a new estate where there is a 4-year waiting list for properties. She admits it was very nice and that she had no complaints about the accommodation itself. She's got a specially adapted bungalow. This house has been specially adapted. It's had modifications made to it so that this black girl can get into it in a wheelchair that, again, that's been provided by white people, and it's not good enough for her. Not good enough. They left, she says, but only because they were subjected to racial abuse and harassment in the town. Whether or not that is true, we can't really say, but sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Just because people call them names, it doesn't mean that the government should be providing you with a new house somewhere else, and there's actually no proof whatsoever that there was any harassment in the town. Police have informed the authorities in Barnet that there is no current risk to Ruth and Mimi in Grimsby. No current risk at all. And don't forget, this is the same police that are reporting hate-related incidents and going around to arrest people for beeping their horn at black people. So it's quite clear that there hasn't been any racial abuse at all, because otherwise the police would say that there had been a report of hate crimes, but there hasn't been any. This information is buried in correspondence about their predicament, which Mimi hands to me during our meeting. I bet she regrets that. Yet she is adamant they will never set foot in Grimsby again. There is no point, she says, because we will be in the same position as before. I mean, they're really taking advantage of the fact that this black girl is in a wheelchair. That's what all this is about. They're using the disability to gain sympathy from people and to overstay their welcome in this hospital. They've got a perfectly good house that they could move to, and yet she says she's adamant they will never set foot in Grimsby again. How arrogant does she think that just because she doesn't want to go there, she couldn't be forced to go there? I mean, what they should really do is just turn them out on the street. They would soon be back on the train to Grimsby again. And you think of the amount of money this is costing to have these scavengers in our hospitals when we have elderly people that need hospital beds. And it's sickening that this is allowed to go on. Whatever the truth, it cannot be right that a room at a frontline NHS hospital has become little more than a bed and breakfast. Ruth and Mimi receive 3 meals a day, but no medical treatment. A carer helps Mimi get Ruth in and out of bed. So the mother can't even get the child out of bed on her own. Well, she probably can. She probably was perfectly able to in the house at Grimsby that she had. Not even a flat, a bungalow. So they're even using the carers at the hospital. And free meals. Ruth's sister visits regularly and does their washing, and post is delivered to their room. But most of their possessions are in storage in Grimsby. I bet they demand new possessions as well, I expect. They have a few changes of clothes, and Ruth also has books for her coursework. Admirably, it says here, admirably, she recently enrolled at nearby Barnet and Southgate College, and Mimini accompanies her on the bus to and from the campus on Tuesdays and Thursdays. It's nothing admirable about blagging your way into a hospital, refusing to leave, and then taking advantage of that fact to enrol in a hospital nearby, enrol in a college nearby. She shouldn't even be able to enrol in the college because her address is in Grimsby. Yet because the hospital has allowed post to be delivered to their room, she's in this hospital. She's obviously been able to scam the college as well. She shouldn't even be at that college if she's not in that area. She's not from that area. So how come she's at that college? Because she's been able to give them the address of this hospital. Because the hospital have allowed them to do this. Their various excursions are recorded on social media. Me and Mum went to town, Ruth revealed on Instagram. We was trying to find a summer dress for Mum. She said, let's go to H&M. So we went around. I found more I like. But Ruth, who hopes one day to work in fashion, barely uttered a word herself during an interview lasting several hours in a coffee shop near Barnet Hospital this week. So it's fine for them to just be living the high life in London, going out shopping, while there are white people at home that need hip replacements that can't actually get into that hospital because there's no hospital bed for them because these freeloaders are in it. You would have to be hard-hearted indeed not to have any sympathy for this young woman. Well, I don't have any sympathy for her, and I really don't consider myself to be hard-hearted. And this is a scam artist who was born with hereditary spastic paraparesis and the burden her condition has placed on her mother. Well, I have sympathy for the young girl, but if she's incapable of looking after herself, it's the mother that's taken advantage of the system. It's the mother that is abusing the fact that she has a disabled daughter to get free housing in a hospital. And the child should be taken away from the mother if the mother is going to abuse them like that. And this is the reason why you get people that have suspicions of disabled people scamming the benefits. Because there are people like this that will abuse the fact that they have a disabled child in order to get benefits that they shouldn't get. And that's exactly what's going on here. It is also true that after coming to Britain in 2003 and finally being granted asylum in 2008, because Mimi said her family was no longer safe in Ethiopia, few countries could have done more to help them, something Mimi does not always seem to fully appreciate. This is just it. I mean, they haven't done any work since they've been in this country. They're not bringing any money in to the economy. They're just demanding to be looked after. I mean, did she have a wheelchair and all that in Ethiopia? Do they have roads and pavements in Ethiopia that wheelchairs can be pushed along? I doubt very much that they do in most places over there. She simply can't understand why they have not automatically been offered suitable accommodation in Barnet, even though they have no connection with the borough. A local connection is one of the requirements for being placed in social housing. She hasn't even got any connection to the country here, and yet she's demanding to be offered a house here. Would she be given a house in Ethiopia? I think not. She'd have to create her own mud hut, just like the rest of them. Ruth was 6 and her sister 11 when they first arrived on these shores following the death of Mimi's husband. What possible threat could they have been under in Ethiopia? A woman with a disabled daughter. The threat of not being able to earn money. The threat of not getting very high welfare benefits. She'd worked as a chef at a hotel in Addis Ababa, but gave up work to become Ruth's full-time carer when they were housed in Grimsby. So the only time this woman has ever worked was in Ethiopia. And when she was in Ethiopia, she did have to work. But since she's come to Britain, she can live the high life and doesn't have to work. She could just claim benefits and do whatever she likes, it seems. Treat the hospital like a hotel. Over the years, Mimi and her family lived in a succession of council properties and received benefits, she says, of around £1,400 a month, along with a special van fitted with a wheelchair lift. Her most recent property, on a development of mixed social and private housing, which they moved into at the beginning of last year, had a combined front room and kitchen area fitted with new beach units, a sofa with a disability hoist, double glazing, a rear garden surrounded by a tall wooden fence, and a front lawn, and parking bay. Mimi showed off pictures of her garden on Facebook, prompting one friend to joke, "It looks lovely, you should come and do my garden, Mimi. LOL." And this woman is really abusing the kindness that's being shown her by the country. And I know people that are disabled that really don't get a lot of help at all. They get their benefits taken from them. They get assessments. They remove the benefits. They have to appeal. They end up being on minimum money for a year. Every year they have to go and have another assessment, even though they've got lifetime disabilities. And yet here we have a foreigner who's been given a house. The house has all been adapted. She's been given a special van with a wheelchair lift, and it's not good enough for her. She wants all of that provided for her in London. She wants to just think she can just leave that house and demand another one, and thinks that she'll get it as well by refusing to go back. In reality, Mimi now says she and Ruth were often too scared to go out because of the racial abuse they suffered. She said they were called names, black this or N-words, go back home, and were even spat at in the street. That's the one they always come up with. They were spat at in the street. White people don't behave like that. White people don't shout out abusive words at people they have never met before. And they certainly don't spit at people they've never met before. This is just something that these foreigners come up with to get white people to feel sorry for them. There's never, ever been any proof that's ever shown for any of this going on. Don't forget, the police said, well, this wasn't actually happening. There weren't actually any threats against them. That's what the police said. Sometimes I used to stay awake at night just to hold Ruth's hand as she slept, Mimi said. I started to keep the curtains closed during the day. Hammerside police confirmed Mimi had made a small number of claims regarding antisocial behaviour and alleged racial abuse, but said no suspects were identified. Her friends, neighbours and the disability support group she belonged to, however, had no inkling whatsoever of any harassment. So nobody has any proof of any harassment whatsoever. They didn't even say to their friends that they were being harassed, yet they made a couple of complaints to the police with no proof of it whatsoever. None. This is all done just so that they can try and get a house in London. I'm a private person, Mimi explained. I didn't know who to trust and didn't tell people at the carers group. So she didn't tell the very people that are bending over backwards to help them. I bet she's a bit annoyed now that she didn't think to make up a few stories to them before she left for the hospital. The incident, she says, which convinced her to leave Grimsby, occurred in the early hours of July 8th last year, when a stone was thrown through the window of the French doors at the back of their home. It was the culmination, she claims, of a campaign of intimidation by a gang of white teenage boys who used to hurl stones and eggs at their bungalow. Residents in the cul-de-sac say there was a problem with one group of youths, but they were not aware that Mimi or Ruth were being targeted or that their behaviour was racially motivated. So once again, the other witnesses are completely contradicting what these scavengers are saying. The following day, she took drastic action. Mimi threw some clothes in a suitcase and fled with Ruth on a train to King's Cross. Those who got to know Mimi will say she had made no secret that she wanted to move to London because her eldest daughter who lived there had just had a baby. But Mimi denies that this was the reason for their dramatic departure. They went to London, she said, because it was a multicultural city where Ruth would be safe. Grimsby is a multicultural place. Once they arrived in King's Cross, they got in a black cab and asked to be taken to the nearest hospital. And this is all been totally planned out right from the start to just scam the NHS and take advantage of the kindness and sympathy of the British people. As soon as they got there, they asked to be taken to the nearest hospital. Mimi explains that Ruth had been traumatised by what had happened in Grimsby. She couldn't speak, she said, and had difficulty breathing. We were taken to Barnet Hospital and went straight to A&E, Mimi said. Ruth was shocked and I told them she cannot answer, she cannot talk of anything. So she's blaming this incident, this supposed incident of racism that happened in Grimsby. That's why she had difficulty breathing. But it was actually a delayed response to this racist incident, a delayed response that didn't actually occur until they happened to get to London and then actually needed some accommodation. And then they thought, well, we'll call to go to a hospital. Ruth was admitted to the medical short stay unit. How ironic that name seems today. And Mimi slept beside her in a chair. After a month, Ruth was ready to be discharged from the unit. I expect that she was ready to be discharged from the unit straight away. In a statement to the Mail, the Royal London NHS Foundation Trust, which operates Barnet Hospital, said, Barnet Hospital is continuing to work with our colleagues in social care as they try to find suitable accommodation for Miss Kidane, which meets her needs. Initially, Mimi says, staff tried to persuade her to put Ruth into care, but her daughter began to cry at the prospect of being separated from her mother and pleaded, Mummy, I don't want to go anywhere without you. But if the mother can't look after her, then that's where she needs to be. A decision was eventually made to transfer Ruth to a general ward on the top floor. She was assigned a social worker and a solicitor, a move almost guaranteed in most circumstances to prolong any problem. Think of the cost of all of this that's being paid for, a solicitor as well. I mean, really, what threat was somebody in a wheelchair under in Ethiopia in the first place? I mean, what does that say about the people in Ethiopia? That they were doing something to somebody in a wheelchair to feel their life was threatened. They had to travel all the way to England to claim asylum. It's just absolute nonsense, this whole story, right from the very start. Ruth was about to become possibly the most controversial example on record of what is known as bed blocking, a term usually used to describe a delay in discharging elderly patients from hospital when there are difficulties in organising social care. Research by several leading universities, including Oxford, found that up to 8,000 people die every year because of bed blocking on NHS wards. A shortage of beds for patients who need urgent surgery often leads to the cancellation of operations. You just think, that's 364 people that weren't able to have operations last year because this lazy negress was in this hospital room preventing anybody else being in there. Hospitals obtained 413 possession orders to remove patients from beds in 2016. Rarely could there have been a more emotive case than that of Ruth Kidane. Yeah, it makes me emotional, anger, to think about the way she's taken advantage of us. She remained on the general ward in a bay of 6 beds for the next 11 months before being moved to a side room where she and her mother are now. They should be making life as uncomfortable for her as possible, not making her more comfortable for her, saying, here you are, you can have your own room with an ensuite bathroom. Oh, and here you are, here's a solicitor you can have as well to try and prevent us from being able to remove you. Early on, this is while they were in the hospital, they were given the keys to a temporary flat in Barnet. So they did try to, they did actually say, well, we'll provide you a house in Barnet. This is just unbelievable. No white person would get treatment like this, be helped out like this. But the front door was too narrow for Ruth's wheelchair, and it was subsequently deemed unsuitable for Ruth's disability needs. She couldn't get a slimmer wheelchair then. She had to keep the wheelchair she had. Barnet eventually decided Mimi couldn't be housed in the area anyway, because she had made herself homeless in Grimsby. Exactly. Nor, initially, could she return to Grimsby even if she had wanted to. Mimi's benefits were cut when she moved out of the town, but she continued to be the registered tenant of her council property during the first 6 months. So nobody could move into her house in Grimsby either. So not only could nobody get into the hospital to have an operation, people that disabled white people that needed a house in Grimsby couldn't get into the council property. This meant she accrued debts over unpaid rent, making her ineligible for other council accommodation. North East Lincolnshire Council, the authority which covers Grimsby, has now accepted that they have a legal duty to provide accommodation for Ruth and her mother and have a suitable property available. But at the time of writing, neither Ruth nor Mimi had responded to their messages. They certainly don't have a moral right to provide any accommodation for them. What they should be doing is deporting them back to Ethiopia. But we know they will not go back to Grimsby in any case. Mimi, for her part, says she has passed all correspondence to her solicitor. And just the fact these people have a solicitor is mind-boggling, who refused to help shed any light on proceedings. "It's an ongoing matter, so I'm not going to make any comments about the case," he told us. Only a supreme optimist would think it's going to stop being an ongoing matter anytime soon. They just run rings around us. These Negroes, they just run rings around us and our sympathy and our kindness and our generosity. It really has to only be for our own people that we have sympathy and kindness and generosity, because when we open it up to others, they just take advantage of it. This is completely taking advantage of everything that the British people have done for these two Negroes. They just demand more. Every time they just demand more. They're just scam artists. They should be deported. They really should be deported. That's the answer. Anyway, thank you very much for listening today. I'll be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.